Okay, so again, today's VOD is Sponsel Zeichen Nishmas Baruch Benisol HaKohen. This time I got it right. Thank you, Gene, for sponsoring this breakfast. So again, so we are finishing Avarabba. We did about half last week. We're up to Vahari Neinu B'Sarasecha, and we will finish through the Bracha as we then head towards Kriya Shema. So we say Vahari Neinu B'Sarasecha, and we ask Hashem to give us the ability to find the hidden treasures in His Torah. And every neshama has a share in the Torah, and one does not have to be a genius, does not have to be a gon, to be able to find something new, to find the chiddush within the Torah. And as we say within Shmona Esrei on Shabbos or Yom Tovim, we say V'sein Chalkeinu B'Sarasecha. We're asking Hashem to give us that chelik, that shear, that belongs to us and that belongs to nobody else. And that's what we're saying here, that Hashem should enlighten our eyes to now find that. And a person could be learning for 40, 50 years, and he could have reviewed the same Gemara over and over and over, and then suddenly, 40, 50 years down the road, he has a new insight that he never understood before in the Gemara. So that is the enlightenment that we get in the Torah. I also heard from Rav Avram Shur, another pshat here, that says that we're asking Hashem to enlighten our eyes for Torah learning, because every day we leave shul, we then ruin our eyes as we walk the streets, as we see things on computers, on the internet, the newspaper, TV, our eyes get darkened. So every morning as we start the day, we ask Hashem again, V'harei neinu v'sarsech, enlighten our eyes that we could have them in order to learn the Torah. Then we continue, we say, V'dabek libeinu b'mitzvosecha. Once our eyes have been enlightened through Torah learning, so our hearts become attached to the mitzvos. And the more one learns, the more he's able to fulfill the mitzvos properly. And even on a simple level, one may think he's doing the mitzvos properly, but without learning, he cannot possibly do so. And as Chazal actually mentioned, when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, that one who does not go through Hilchos Shabbos properly, you know, and reviews it constantly, the odds are he's never really keeping Shabbos. There's always going to be something that he's probably being mechalal over Shabbos. So without the Torah, it's very hard to be v'dabek libeinu b'mitzvosecha. The Baruch Shammai asks, why do we mention specifically the eyes and the heart? And he explains that the eyes and the heart specifically need chizuk in their avoda. As the Yerushalmi tells us, ein of aliba trace our suri d'avera, the eyes and the heart are the two causes of us doing averos. Since the eyes see and the heart desires, as we say in Kriya Shema, v'lo s'surach v'elevavchem v'achvei nechem, so therefore we're davening that they be used for Kodesh, they're being used for Torah and mitzvos. We continue, V'yachid l'vaveinu l'aval yiruz shemecha. So when we speak of shemecha, of the name of Hashem, we mean Hashem himself. And we can only understand his name, that which he revealed to us. We can't comprehend his full essence, which is b'li reishis u'v'li sachlis. And Shimon Schwab tells us, he says, it says l'vaveinu, which is plural-like. And he alludes to a double heart. And he says the heart can have two relationships with Hashem and in reality with anyone. There are those people that love Hashem, but they lack Yiras Shamayim. For example, they love to learn Hashem's Torah, but they may not be so fearful in doing things which could possibly constitute an avera. While there are others who may fear Hashem, but not necessarily love Him. And these are separate parts of the heart's relationship with Hashem. The Ava and the Yira do not necessarily go together. So we ask Hashem that He unites our hearts to both love and fear Him. And one can only achieve this combination through learning Torah and to recognize the reality of Hashem. Love and fear are, as we said, contradictory relationships. Love draws close, while fear moves them away. However, we need both. We need the ability, the desire to come close to Hashem, while at the same time, we need to fear Him in order to prevent us from doing averos. And therefore, we're asking Hashem to unify our hearts to be able to serve Him. The Baruch Shamar explains that the double Lashon is really for the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. And we're asking Hashem to unify our hearts to make them one. Because we could switch the Yud from the word Yachid and put it there in Aleph to make Echad, that we want one heart to serve Him L'Tov. And then we continue, V'lo Nevo Sh'lolam Vaed. And this refers to Olam Haba, where we all hope to go. And we're going to have to give an accounting for our lives before Hashem. And therefore we daven here, that at that moment of truth, we will not be put to shame about how we lived our lives here on earth. because we're trying our very best to love and fear your name. And Shim Shimon Fall Hirsch explains that we're asking that we will not be ashamed at that hidden but certain time that will come up. And here we refer to Hashem's revelation to us that He is Gadol, in the sense of Gadol Chesed. His greatness lies in the fact that He's full of mercy and kindness. But at the same time, He's Nora, meaning He's the one who inspires awe and fear in His creations. And this again emphasizes the Ava and Yira aspect. And we have Bitachon, that if we do our very best to love and fear Hashem, we will succeed in this endeavor, and we'll have nothing to be ashamed of when we're faced with our moment of truth. Nagila v'nismacha b'shuasecha. So we say we have full bitachon, that if we do what is right in this world, we can look forward to rejoice in your salvation. And salvation here means the ultimate salvation of man, which is the eternal heavenly bliss in Olam Haba. And as the Mesil Sesharim tells us, Ha'adam lo nivra el his anigal Hashem. Man was only created to have the opportunity to enjoy a blissful eternal life in the proximity, the close proximity of Hashem in Olam Haba. And everything we do here is to get us to that part, to that point. And we then say, V'avienu l'sholom me'abrakanfo sa'aretz. And we're now asking Hashem to allow us in this world to realize these brachos, these blessings that were promised by the Torah, and that is to experience the Emos HaMashiach. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus asks, he says, we're middle of Avarabba, we're asking Hashem to help us with our Torah learning, and suddenly we ask Hashem for the Geula. What's this request doing here? What's the connection of the Geula and this bracha? And he explains that there are two parts to davening. There's what we call tefillah, and there's what we call the matz of tefillah. And he says, when one stands up for Shemona Esrei and starts, Baruch Atah Hashem, he's now in a matz of tefillah. But at the same time, he's actually doing the tefillah, he's actually talking to Hashem and asking for the das, the geula, the refuah, the parnasa. So he says, even though the halacha of this, what we call matzav of tefillah, said by Shemona Esrei, he says it really applies to all of davening. He says, and what it means is that when we're davening, that part that we're davening, that we're saying at that moment, is bringing down additional bracha to the world while we're in that bracha. And he says, for example, when we say Rifa'enu in Shemona Esrei, the world fills with a shefa, with an abundance of refuah at that time. So he says, now we can understand what Geula is doing here. He says, when we say Ava Rabba, we're in a matzav of Ava. We're bringing extra love from HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. And the world is filling up with this Ava. As we say Ava Rabba, Chemla Gedola. So therefore, when we say Ava, when we mention that love, immediately when there's love, the Geula follows. And therefore, since we're in this matzav of Ava, we're asking Hashem, Vavienu l'sholom, that we should be zocha to that complete geula that should follow immediately after that ahava very soon. V'solichenu kamemius le'artzenu. And according to the Arizal, at this point we gather our four tzitzis to symbolize our desire to see and experience that kibbutz golius at the time of Mashiach. Now there are those, I think the article Siddur brings, you say it before the beginning of this pasuk, you gather your tzitzis. The Arizal seems to say it, you do it at this moment. And even though we normally know you're not allowed to do any other activities during davening to avoid a disruption of your kavana, especially while saying the words, nevertheless, this act of gathering your tzitzis, which is symbolic of the words that you're saying at that moment, does not interfere with one's kavana on it, will not take away from the concentration one has, and therefore it's not a stira, it's not a contradiction to gather our tzitzis while we're saying these words. The pasuk of Avienu l'sholom me'abrakanfo sa'aretz u'solcheinu kamemius la'artzeinu, because those words are saying that we want to be brought in and gathered together. So each tzitzis is representing one of the four corners of the earth. So we're at the same time we say the words, we're doing that same motion. But it's not contradicting because the words and the motions are meaning the same thing. Komamius, so we mentioned the word komamius, which means in an upright posture. And we're asking Hashem to help us achieve our highest spiritual potential here. And now with this ingathering of our people, Eretz Yisrael, and the coming of Mashiach. And the tefillah of our redemption to return to Eretz Yisrael in peace follows the previous tefillah of success in learning of Torah and fulfilling the mitzvos. And in the words, we say, V'avienu l'sholom, we express the tefillah for the actual kibbutz golios, which will bring all of the people home together in perfect coexistence, based on learning of the Torah, which will be done through Mashiach. And this will be at a time when we say, Talmidei Chachamim, Marvim Shalom Ba'olam, because we'll all learn the same Torah, and learning the same Torah, that will bring us all together, and that will bring the Shalom. And at that time, we will again have reached our highest potential greatness, and we will once again stand proudly upright, Komamiyus, in our land. We then say, Ki Kel Paul Yeshuas Ata. Now, in the bracha prior in Yotzer Ar, we had said the phrase, Ki Hu Levado Paul Gevuros. And again here, we use the same word, Paul, in this bracha. So in the prior bracha, Rav Shimon Schwab explains that was referring to the material strength of Klal Yisrael, of us. However, in this bracha, we're referring to our spiritual work of Hashem bringing us the salvation, the ultimate Yeshua. Uvanu v'charetam mikolam v'loshon, this refers to Matan Torah, that the Jewish nation, Klal Yisrael, was chosen by Hashem from all the world's nations and cultures to receive His Torah. And Rav Shimon Schwab says, Loshon here doesn't mean language, but it actually means culture. V'keravtonu l'shimcha agodol sela be'emes. So there are many philosophers and theologians that have ideas and conceptions of God, of what He is. But these are not be'emes. Through the Torah, Hashem has revealed to us the truth of His existence and the attributes of His being. Lahodos l'cha, so the first result of having received the Torah is to thank You. And not even for one day are we to forget that Hashem selected us from all the nations of the world and gave us the Torah. And the bracha of Asher Bacharbanu is a daily bracha of thanking Hashem for giving us that Torah. Now these last phrases in this bracha contain elements from Birchas HaTorah. And therefore, the halacha tells us if one forgot to say Birchas HaTorah before davening, by saying Ava Rabbah, he has in effect said the bracha over learning Torah. However, just like we follow Asher Bacharbanu with Yivarechecha and El Devarim, which is learning immediately following, or as the Yekis do it with the Karbonos and Ezel Mekoman and Rabbi Shmuel following immediately afterwards, so too one should immediately learn something after davening in order that the Brach of Ava Rabbah is Chal on some type of learning before he then runs off for his day. U'yadchecha b'yahava. The love we're referring to here is that love of Hashem and of our love to Hashem and His reciprocal love back to us. And then we conclude the bracha. We say, Baruch atah Hashem, Habocher ba'ama Yisrael bi'ava. That blessed are You, Hashem, who chooses His people, Yisrael, with love. And as we see, it's a present tense. It's not that Hashem chose us in the past and therefore He's technically stuck with us, but it's a continuous choosing of Klal Yisrael that He's always doing because He that love for Klal Yisrael. And we'll end with our story and the homework. And then next week, Bezer Hashem, we'll start to get into Kriya Shema and start to move further up this ladder of davening. So as Rabbi Fried read the Gemara with his class, he noticed Dovi's eyes were fixated on a spot near the window. Maybe there was a bug climbing up the wall. Perhaps he was simply gazing at a blank spot. So the Rebbe interrupted his student's reverie to bring him back to reality. Dovi, please find the place. Dovi, caught off guard as always, turned his eyes to the safer in front of him and moved his finger along the lines as if trying to resume where he had left off. Sadly, he did not even know where the lesson had begun, let alone what the class was reviewing at the moment. Dovi's problem was not a lack of motivation. The other boys in the class seemed to be so engaged in the learning. The Rebbe seemed to really enjoy the questions they asked and the answers they offered. They were all on the same page, while Dovi was not even in the same book. He longed to be part of that give and take, the excitement, the camaraderie of the class. He tried with all his might to focus and understand, but he might as well have been reading Chinese. His parents willingly hired tutor after tutor to help him, but to no avail. With his self-esteem so critically wounded, Dovi began to shrink away from the other boys in the class. He rarely went outdoors for recess, fearing that no one would want to play with a loser. Eventually, he slid slowly completely into that role of outsider that the other students began to see him in that light. They mimicked him and mumbled his replies. Dovi began to hate school. One morning, Dovi could not find the strength to get out of bed and face another day. I can't do it anymore, Mommy, he cried. I try as hard as I can. When will I ever feel like a normal kid? Come on, Dovi, his mother gently prodded. You'll see, things are going to get better. Just keep the best. Keep doing the best you can, and Hashem will help you. You have to keep trying, even though it's hard. She said these words with as much conviction as she could muster, but inside her head, other words were ringing out. You poor, poor child. What will ever be with you? She held back her tears of pity as she urged her son off to school each morning, knowing that he faced a daily encounter with pure misery. One day, Dovi came into class with a bit more bounce in his step than usual. He sat down, opened his Gemara, and began following the words the Rebbe was reviewing. Wait a minute, he thought to himself. This doesn't seem to make sense. His arm flew up in the air, and his Rebbe called on him. Dovi asked his first question all year. Rebbe Fried was startled by Dovi's sudden involvement in the learning. He answered the question, ending his explanation by saying, and that settles the issue. But Rebbe, it seems they're still left with a question, Dovi responded. And as he explained the reasoning, Rebbe Fried marveled at the brilliance his student was exhibiting. I wonder what's going on, the Rebbe thought. I wonder how long this is going to last. On the following day, not only did Dovi ask more insightful questions, but he read the Gemara with fluency and explained its logic with crystal clarity. By now, the other boys in the class were observing Dovi with a fascinated awe. What happened to the old Dovi? How did he become such a genius? They, too, imagined it was some kind of fluke or trick. Yet day after day, Dovi continued to perform. So the Rebbe decided to do a little investigating, and he calls up Dovi's mother and says, I'm sure you've noticed that Dovi's most recent test grades are light years ahead of what he's been doing up until now. And I want you to know his participation in class is also on a very high level. I can't help wondering what you've been doing to help him, because whatever it is, I've never seen anything work so well and so fast. Baruch Hashem, Dovi's mother exulted. It's good to hear this report. You are right that I have been doing something to help him. I've been davening, and so has he. She told this story. So this year has been Dovi's hardest year since he started Cheder, because he did not have the skills to begin Gemara. Each day when he came home from school, he'd walk through the door looking sad and defeated. He would tell me how everyone else in class seemed to understand what was going on, and he would cry to me and ask, why am I so dumb? My heart broke for my little Dovi, and then it struck me that perhaps there was something I could do. I tried practically every way to help Dovi, but I'd forgotten the most basic step to daven for his success. I decided the best time to daven for him would be when I bench lich Friday evening, which is an opportune time to pray for children's success in Torah study. So one Friday afternoon, after I set up the candles, I called Dovi over and told him, I want you to stand here with me near the candles while I daven for your success, and I want you to daven for your success as well. Perhaps our tefillos combined will bring Hashem's help and your heart will open to your Torah learning. I lit the candles and I covered my eyes, and as I started to daven for my son, my heart was flooded with such emotion. I was overcome by his pain, by my pity for his situation, and my fears of what could become of him if things didn't change. Tears came to my eyes, but soon I was not just teary-eyed, but crying. Dovi stood next to me, when he heard me crying, his heart broke open too. Both of us stood there crying and praying and knocking down the gates of heaven. We've been doing this week after week with all of our hearts. And for what you're telling me now, Rabbi Fried, our tefillos are being answered. So in the simple story of this compassionate mother, Rabbi Fried saw the illustrated truth he had always known. A mother's tears and prayers can penetrate any wall, break down any barrier, and rally the power of Hashem to the cause of a precious child. And the truth is, as we always know, anyone can accomplish this. If the feeling is there, the emotion is there, and we really put ourselves, to it, there are many stories that we've either heard, we've gone through, many more out there, of people that have really applied themselves to the davening, and their tefillos have been answered in the way they've been looking for the answer. And the homework is for those that were here last week, the homework is to finish the second half of Avar Abba with at least once with the Kavanah. Those that were not should at least then try to focus on the entire Avar Abba at least once during the week.